Hey guys, welcome back. This is Richard Sachs from Lost Arts Radio. I was hoping to be on camera today, but hopefully that happens soon. And at least I'm partially back and here with Dr. Cousins. And we were talking before the show started about what would be a good topic. And he's got some thoughts to share on the anniversary of Israel's founding, of the darkness and light struggle between people in the world and how that manifests when we're identified with all these warring factions. So a lot to talk about, way more than we have time for, but we'll hit the high points. Welcome, Dr. Cousins. Anxious
okay,
to
okay, thank you, Richard. Glad you're doing better. And let's start with a prayer, merging the heart and mind, which is part of the key of where humans get in trouble. Is we separate the heart and mind, in the right brain and left brain. So, the Shemikud Kudishabri Hu Ushinate Bi Ilur Imulaihad Shemuke Bilovke Bidashum Bisham Kozreo Kolam Amen. Okay, so feel that merging for a moment of heart and mind, the integration of that. Because that's part of the key. So we will be looking at, as Richard said, why is it that humanity can never, it always ends up yielding to the dark side in its actions over time, although it starts with good ideals. Okay, so first we want to start with a little spiritual joy, which is part of the key, is a little dancing and open our hearts to the dance of the divine. So we're going to start there. 1 minute. Okay, very good. So Let's take a minute to kind of meditate. Just a minute or two, get yourself settled. Hey, you. Okay, welcome everybody. And I do welcome everybody with love, a little bit of joy. It's an interesting time. It's hard to really understand humanity, and maybe we've never understood humanity. Today I'm celebrating my 81st birthday, and that makes me 5 years older than the state of Israel, although its history goes back thousands of years, 3,300 years. But getting a sense of things, everything is a new beginning. But why do we need new beginnings? Because we keep making a mess of the last beginning. And I think that's one of the critical things that we have to look at is what goes wrong, one. Two, how do we correct it? So we don't keep doing the same thing again and again for thousands of years. Wow. And we kind of look at the different things that goes wrong. We look at the U.S. and we see, you know, a lot of people feel that when they threw out "In God We Trust" as a beacon, that the country began to lose its bearings, and now it's getting more and more and more that way. And because "In God You Trust," if you don't have that initial connection, then you lose the morals and the ethics, because it's all totally relative. And, you know, if you look at the Bible, you know, it has the 10 speakings, and actually the Torah has 620 ways to do good deeds, and each one is a light, a connection to the divine. Okay, that's really, really important, but still we miss. And how does that happen? You know, we get going for a few hundred years and we lose it. You have the great Buddhist king Ashoka, whose reign of peace in India and so forth lasted for, I think, about 400 years. And again, he brought this great deep understanding of a Buddhist understanding of peace, and said, whoa, and it really worked. But then we fall away. Historically, we can look at Adam and Hava, that's Eve's actual name, and see, even from the beginning, they were struggling with the temptations of the serpent. It's like, whoa. And the child of the serpent and the child of a woman, you know, fighting, okay? And this goes on in generations. And then we have Noah in the 10th generation, by that time it's become so corrupt and so much black magic and evil doing that God said, well, okay, let's do it again. So there was a cleansing. And Noah and his family survived on their ark. And then the degeneration began again. And then we had the Tower of Babel. And again, you know, you're building a tower to approach the heavens. It's, I don't think they were naive enough to think that they were going to build a tower to approach heaven. I think it's more of a metaphor to kind of show the strength, power, and pride in this great project. That's just my opinion, but I think it's backed by some understanding. And then finally, you know, we come to the Mount Carmel and the Greeks, you know, having great insights up there, and then coming down into 167 BC, which is when the Essenes started. The Essenes were, there are three groups, Pharisees, Sadducees, and the Essenes. And the Essenes were kind of a priesthood from Zadokite. And without getting into details, they found that they didn't want to do animal sacrifice, that the inner core, there are different interpretations of the Essenes, but basically, historically, inner core were vegans and then vegetarians. And so they moved away, literally walking distance from Jerusalem, walking meaning of 3 or 4 days, and settled near the Dead Sea and hid different things in the caves and created a community. And there were actually historically Essene communities in many cities. There was no Essene city, but Essenes had safe houses in every community, all the way into Lake Mareotis in Egypt and up to Damascus. You know, so they're spread throughout the Middle East, and their focus was living in peace, but sanctifying all of creation, sanctifying all of life, and not doing any harm in any way. And they lived, to join these scenes, you had a 3-year kind of trial to show your commitment. But what were they doing that seemed to work is they focused very much on any members being very committed to God. And I'm going to say experiencing God within. And this is an important thing. I'll get to it in a second. And they, as they say, the trial went on for 3 years before you could join. Some Essenes believed in merit. Some Essenes believed in celibacy. But somehow they worked a lot of this out. In the Qumran, there were definitely women skeletons there. So we may have had both. Some people believe that Jesus was, in the Sea of Galilee, was born in a Essene community. And he certainly, with his cousin John, who was in the Essene, was very friendly with the Essenes. I can't tell you Jesus was in the Essene. I don't believe that was the case. But he was very aligned and friendly. And the place in the River Jordan where he went was like right around the corner, literally almost walking distance from the Essene community, from the Dead Sea. So we have this, again, attempts by people to wake up the world and shift the consciousness. At that time, the estimates of the Essenes total population was around 4,000. Some people say as high as 10,000. So but they were a very, very powerful element because their belief structure, their connection with God was so strong. And that's what really made them distinct. And many people feel that they are part of the connection, or that modern day Christians were definitely influenced, or the seeds gave birth to Christianity with the association of John and Jesus. Just vaguely speaking, there's an association that many people try to make. But the important thing is, because we have to look at how do we get out of how do we keep not doing the same thing, which is letting the dark side prevail. Now, the Essenes didn't fall to the dark side, as far as I can tell, follows the history suggests. Most all other groups around the world have fallen to the dark side. Or even, again, King Ashoka, Ashoka the Buddhist king, he held it during his term, his years as leader, but then eventually it fell. What goes on? And the closest I can get to it, and this is why I bring up these scenes, okay? The closest I can get to it is the Essenes didn't have faith in God. They had the experience of God. Big difference. You have the intellectual belief God exists. Okay, that's good. You have faith. It's a stronger feeling. And then there's the direct apperception of the divine in your life as the light of God within yourself and within all peoples. And that's what these scenes had. And they focused very intensely in their prayer and focused very intensely how they interacted with each other and very intensely about their relationships. And everything was, in a sense, divided equally. People got what they needed. But it was based on the experience of God in each other and themselves. So that's because that's a society that actually worked. Okay, I mean, they were conquered by the Romans, and many escaped all over the world, but particularly to Masada, where again the Romans killed many people, many Essenes, but they also went into India and Africa. And they came back at different times and really started, for example, the first medical school in Europe was in Italy. And the Essene teachers came from Africa to help with the school. So we have that kind of history of healing as well. But healing is based on the love of other people. And also healing yourself. What I teach is you have to love yourself enough to heal yourself. So we're looking at this, big picture, and we do have a few historical exceptions. As they say, King Ashoka, for 400 years, and the Essenes until they were dispersed by the Romans and left the area and kind of went to different places around the world, but mostly India and Africa. So we have a model of what can work. Now, the Essenes also were known as prophets, and they were able to visualize the future extremely accurately. But 2,000 years ago, they said in 2025, next year, about a year from now, we will begin moving back into the light, you know, into the 1,000 years of peace in a 50-year cycle before we go in the 1,000 years of peace. So that was a prophecy made in a, what they call the first day of Passover. We got passed over the Jews in Egypt, and they were free. We're in the first step of that freedom. And so we're kind of looking at these things. We're, you know, in that prophetic sense, we're truly able to say, okay, this is what's coming. Now, why is this important? Because that's next year. Why is it important? Because we're living in a world where the dark side seems to prevail, but somehow the energy of the divine is going to get stronger and stronger, which is the key to the whole thing. Yeah, because it's really hard to act in an honorable, loving way with yourself and other people if you aren't experiencing divine within yourself as well as everybody else. Because that's that spark, of the soul spark that connects everyone. And when you feel that, this is like, okay, this is it. This is for real. So this is, to me, like a key understanding of the, not only seeing prophecy, but, you know, good and the struggle of good and evil. Now, people define it different ways, but it's not that hard to figure out when you're not creating atrocities and raping women and killing and putting babies in ovens and doing the things we've just seen happen recently. You can't really say that's good. You have to really stretch it. Okay. So us humans have an ability to tell, relatively speaking, it's a little relative, but not so relative, that the 10 speakings, for example, are 10 general rules. They come from the 7 Noahide principles that were preceding that, and they come from the Sumerian teachings. So these principles go back, these teachings go back thousands of years. It didn't start with the Bible. So that's another little point to make. So these are kind of what we're looking at. Even the diet, as I said, the inner core of the Essenes were vegan. I can't say live food, we really don't know. But in the Torah teachings, Moses was worked very hard to get people to go back to a vegan diet. Of course, he didn't call it vegan. The word vegan didn't happen until 1944. But it was a vegetable and fruit, nut and seed-based diet. And they saw that as the diet that would bring the most inner peace. Like when you kill an animal, and this is more Indian teachings from India, that you take the soul and the ego of the animal into you, and then it agitates your mind and it lowers your consciousness. So that's kind of a theme here. So they didn't kill animals, they didn't do animal sacrifice, and didn't do them well in relationship with the Sadducees and Pharisees. And that's why they left the temple, because they felt it didn't agree with the animal sacrifice. So what I'm saying is that their diet was affecting consciousness. And it affects literally the consciousness of the mind. You're not filled with fear and misery like the animal feels before it's killed. Okay? And there's less As I say, animal ego, because you're eating lower on the food chain. Plants have less of an egoic structure in the way I'm talking about it, you know. So all these are really important things to understand. So that they had a diet that supported a higher consciousness. They prayed a certain amount each day. They had their services in certain amounts, like up to 6 hours a day, spread out throughout the day. You know, they worked as a group together in most everything they did. They grew their own food. They were known as the healers for the area. So they kind of held the energy, and they also worked with the society at large. They're highly respected. And so that to uplift the consciousness of the society at large. So we have a model of how peace can be. I'll add one more thing, is that it isn't just, oh, well, under God, we trust, okay? Because, as they say, you have to have the direct experience. Now, I teach, you know, it's like a generic thing, the six foundations and sevenfold peace. They're all designed for one thing: to help you experience the divine within yourself and within other people. So very briefly, it involves a vegan, 100% vegan, 80% mindful diet. Involves a spiritual dance, building the prana or life force or chi. Involves service and charity to others, which the seeds were renowned for their service and charity. Involves working with spiritual teachers who could reach higher levels of understanding. It involves meditation and prayer and the awakening of the spiritual energy. So that's the six foundations. The sevenfold peace is similar, you know, in the sense that I'm just adding a few things that wasn't in the six foundations. They focused on family relationships. They focused on intimacy and couple relationships. They focused on relating to what we call Native American Old Metachiasins. Everything is my relative. So they had that consciousness of the oneness with all of creation. And they also felt one with the whole community and with all communities. And they practiced an awareness, or includes the awareness of what I call sacred ecology. And finally, there's only God. So those all come together. Those are ways of life that encourage you to have the inner experience of the truth. When you have the inner experience, then you can relate to it in other people. That's the key. So it's not a philosophy, okay? It's not a belief system. It's an inner experience that you have that connects you ever deeper to the divine and creates a certain lifestyle where the light definitely is stronger than the darkness. So I'm going to invite Richard to come in, make some comments, and we'll turn it over to the larger discussion.
Yeah, I really support what you've been doing for a long time, Dr. Cousinson. I think, you know, it was great when you were teaching people primarily how to get off sugar and get over diabetes and show that there was a cure for diabetes and degenerative diseases.
I'm still doing that, incidentally. I'm still doing it every day. I have so many people who are dealing with diabetes.
I've been in programs going on it.
Yeah.
Your current location in Israel and all around the world. Yeah. Online. Correct. I think that's all great. And it's tied together, as you point out, with the real point, which is internal connection to God. And I think what you're doing with the World Peace Meditation idea is the kind of ultimate focus of that you bring it into yourself and let it take over your life, to the point where it spreads all over the world. and it is an experience. There are degrees of that experience, you know, and I
think. Richard, let me interrupt for a second. Say the World Peace Meditation we do every Sunday at 6:15 to 7 o'clock Israel time. And it's, and we all do it simultaneously around the world to uplift the consciousness of the planet.
Yeah.
Every week. Go ahead.
Sunday mornings in the U.S.
Yes.
And I think the point is there are degrees of experience. And, you know, I've put a lot of focus onto both the natural healing aspect on the physical level and also the spiritual level. And I've read many scriptures. I've got a degree in religious studies, which may or may not be worth anything, but read the Old and New Testaments of the Bible many times. And I've never found a written account, and I've read the Essene works and the Essene gospel and things like that. I've never found a scripture so far that matches my internal little bit of experience of God, which is not a punishing, unstable, vengeful figure. It's infinite, unconditional love. And so what it seems to me at this point, and again, it's not of any use as a belief, it has to become an experience, is that there is a level of inner experience of God where your body is transformed completely, and there's no aging, and there's no degeneration, and it's luminous, much as people report from the astral level. And I don't think anyone has done it so far, because as soon as anybody does, I don't think it'll be stoppable. I think it would begin a wave that would cover the world, and it would go from one country to another, and we wouldn't need any more belief systems, as you say. But somebody has to do that. We have to do that if we're aware of it. And that's all of my interest right now, is to see that happen, because the world is in the hands of darkness. But that darkness is specifically coming through rulers who don't know who they are and are working for the false satisfaction of hurting other people. They're controlling pretty much every country in the world. And I don't think they're going to vote to change that. So it's going to be us and people doing things like what you're doing, your projects. So I'm completely in support.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. And it's really important also, as you said, to recognize the connection between your physical lifestyle and your inner connection. I think in the end, when that final realization and experience happens, you could not eat at all, or you could drink battery acid. It wouldn't matter. You wouldn't kill animals because you don't want to hurt them. But you could, for yourself, you could eat whatever you want. But when you're working toward that, it has a massive effect in your physical. And it's much harder to do the inner connection when your physical body is in distress. So those things go together.
Yeah. And your diet doesn't play a role. I mean, in the yogic tradition, we have, there's three kinds of diet. Sattva, which is a vegan diet, mostly live food, that they say elevates your consciousness. Rajas, which is a very activating diet, does include some meat. And tamas, which is a junk food, drug-based diet, which brings lower and lower consciousness. So you can choose. Obviously, the yogis choose a sattvic diet. So we have choices we can make. And, you know, it's sattvic lifestyle. And just in Western terms, it's the six foundations and sevenfold peace. You know, and it works, and it's simple. It's a way of life that leads you to liberation.
Right along with what you eat depends on, goes what you decide to think and feel. And emotion is very powerful, and people are aware of 5G towers, antennas that put out radiation that's harmful. Each one of us is similar but much stronger. And we can put out radiation that's harmful or helpful to the world. And it's in the form of emotion, focused emotion. Most people aren't even ever thinking about the effect of that on other people. But there are many people who've come back from experiences of brief experiences of death and reporting how they saw the effect. And from then on, they're very careful about how they feel toward everybody else, even the so-called bad guys. Wanting them to suffer and die is not beneficial to ourselves or to them.
Yeah, so we have in each generation opportunity to evolve as a species. And we're at that critical turning point. And that's really what these things prophesized 2,000 years ago, that we can enter the 1,000 years of peace. We have that potential. And the energy is being released at the first day of Pesach, which is next year, you know, around this time. So it's pretty important, maybe April next year. So we're right on the cusp, and this is so exciting. Wow. Where light will begin to prevail over the terrors of darkness. We do have that potential.
Right, and as far as potential is concerned, I think there's a level of experience that if we get there, it ends the cycles. We don't have to keep going back after 1,000 years of peace into darkness again.
And into correct. The whole world. But also the 1,000 years of peace to start with.
It what? Say that again.
I'll consider the 1,000 years of peace to start with. That's a good start.
We'll do another show after the 1,000 years is over.
Right. But I interrupted. Go ahead and finish what you're saying.
No, I just want the cycle to end because it wouldn't be any better for us right now if we had just come out of 1,000 years of peace and descended into this darkness again.
Right.
The 1,000 year periods that are good in the past are not what's happening now. And on the last day of the 1,000 years, people aren't going to be anxious to go into the dark. There's no good time for that. And if you think that people are created from nothing, then the suffering is great to teach all these wonderful lessons. But if we come from God, and if we're infinite beings in ourselves, connected to spirit, we don't need to go through nightmares. We can dispense with that.
Yes. Very much so. And so the choice is somewhat ours. We can choose the light. It's not the easy choice these days to truly choose it, to organize your whole life around sanctifying all of creation, sanctifying all that we're doing. Not the easiest choice. It's a little work, and it's a little focus of consciousness to make it happen. But that is what is needed to shift. And when we do that, it can happen very quickly.
Absolutely. So do you want to take a minute and tell about the programs that you're doing that are connected to that?
Okay, so again, one of the very important programs is the World Peace Meditation, which we do every week. We also do a peace meditation each equinox and solstice, which we've been doing since 1985. The research is very clear. When people get together and meditate, literally, you know, regular basis, the crime rate, like in Rhode Island, it went down 43%. They thought it was a fluke. And they came back the next year, and the violent crime rate, murders and rapes, went down 49%. Why? Simply creating a frequency of meditation and of inner peace. So we know we can do it. So that's part of the bigger picture of what I do. Those are two. I also find that people, we do spiritual fasting retreats. And right now we're doing it over the internet just because of what's going on in the world. But the point of the spiritual fasting retreat, again, is to create an inner space of silence that can help you connect to the divine. And following that, then we do a zero-point course, which is what we call in yoga, jnana yoga, yoga of the mind, where you know that the personality is a case of mistaken identity. Richard was alluding to it in the beginning of our talk. And then following that, my wife and I both teach a course in conscious eating, how to prepare food that elevates your consciousness. And so that's that cycle. Plus, I do a lot of work with people individually, a lot of couple therapy, family therapy, individual, what we call orthomolecular. Now, I was fascinated today. This sounds really kind of cool, but they did research. It showed that if you just took a multiple vitamin mineral every day, just any general one that people were taking, it actually slows down cognitive decline and senility in people over 50 years old by about 30%. So I do a lot of work with rebuilding the brain that's been injured, you know, emotionally, psychedelically, a variety of things, so we can rebuild the biological brain and upgrade it. So that's part of the individual work, but it's connected because you have to have the bridge from the individual into the family, and a couple family, and then society. So my work is truly holistic in that way. And people sometimes call me the physician of the soul because we're working on that level. So that's kind of what I'm doing, and all those programs interlace. Okay, and I have done just to a few programs. Then I have a Thursday program in general for spiritual nutrition questions. And then I also have Alive and Liberated with Dr. Gabriel. We'll talk more about the spiritual issues. And then we have a European hour. We have a Brazilian hour. Different times for different people, parts of the world to share and do the meditation in different cultures. Because this has got to be a multicultural approach. So that's what's going on in the bigger picture. Thanks for asking. Good.
Yeah, my pleasure. And it's really important, as you say, not only because of the prophecy of peace, but because of what the rulers are planning to do with us right now. And my vote is that should not happen.
Right.
I don't want to take it any further. There's too many people suffering things that should never happen in the world right now. Even one of those is beyond what should be accepted. We need to turn it back now.
Yeah.
And I think that's possible.
I was not happy to hear that the estimates of 20 million people that died from the bioweapon injection, it's actually a billion worldwide. That's what the newer data show. That's a little bit much, you know, a billion people from the bioweapon injection.
What is it, 22 million right now?
No, I'm saying it's a billion.
The
data was seriously flawed. Now, that's just what I'm hearing, as people are calling and telling me that. It was 20 million as an estimate.
Right.
Now the estimate, and some groups are saying it's up to a billion.
Deaths or injuries?
Deaths.
Pretty incredible.
Yeah.
It looks like they're rolling out a new pandemic now, getting ready for it.
Right, except that we don't have to play.
Right.
It's the message.
Yeah. It looks like they're going to probably call it bird flu.
They're going to what?
Bird flu.
Yeah. I don't know enough about exactly what it is, but our approach is dealing with any virus, so it doesn't matter. But I'd like to hear from someone who has some data on what the actual plan is.
Anything that gets proven by a PCR test is complete nonsense.
Yeah.
They're using it to kill animals.
Yes. Yes.
So, and
they're injecting it in the animals, and if people eat meat, they're picking it up to the animals that have been injected with this. So it's a major attack on humanity.
It's food,
reason why you want to eat lower in the food chain also.
Along with the energy attack.
Yeah.
So one of the big groups of people that should not go along with this is people who are working within the system.
Right. So the good news is we will prevail. The light of God will prevail. So that's the love of God will prevail. The divine music will be heard. And peace will prevail on earth. And may everyone be blessed that it starts with peace dwelling with us to begin with. Well, blessings to everyone. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Richard, for your good work. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Om shanti, shanti, shanti. Om atakyuasin. Aho.
What is the celebration that's going to be happening for your birthday, Doug?
Well, this is... It's just my wife and I. We're not doing anything. She's got a whole day planned, and she's keeping it a surprise.
What's the date?
May 14th.
So that's tomorrow.
Well, remember, we're a little bit time zone different, and the day always starts the night before after sunset.
Right. So you're in.
It actually is today or tonight. And tomorrow day.
Right, right. Okay, well, I'll just close by saying happy birthday to you.
Thanks, Richard.
The best. And there's a banner that Doug just put up.
Yeah.
Best birthday present for you is for everybody to focus on who they really are and reconnecting to their original source and living it.
Yeah. Good. So, okay.
Blessings to everybody. And we're still managing to do Planetary Healing Club once a week on Saturdays, and you're welcome to that, anybody who wants to join. That's for the specific purpose of reconnection that we're talking about. And I haven't been promoting it much because I was almost taken out completely and trying to get back at the moment, but we're still carrying it on. It's really important, and it's for the sake of yourself and all of humanity. But you don't need to do that with anybody else if you don't want to. You can do it yourself. Just become aware of the thoughts and emotions that you're carrying with you, because you remember that that's your prayer and your meditation that you're doing 24 hours a day. Where is it focused? Planetary healing.com. And so we're in great appreciation of the radiation that you're putting out to reconnect to God and love for the world. And thank you. Blessings on everybody. And we hope to see you here next week. And I hope to come the rest of the way out in this and be with him. All of you are loved. So take care. Have a good week. And we'll see you next time.